Today's talk is Twiglet Power, Paul?
Twiglet Power.
Twiglet Power. So, I'm none the wiser, but I'm going to... Paul, come on, let's just pray for you before. No. Well, thank you for the 12 months that we had with Twiglet Thought. Thank you for the great times we've had with you and with each other. And I just pray now for Paul, that you will speak through him. That whatever the theme that he talked about, we will just hear more about you and the way that you worked in his life and the things that he's seeing you speaking through him. But just bless him now. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. And thank you very much, Mike, for the kind introduction. And it's a pleasure to be here again with you. Thank you for lunch. That was very good. Ladies, gentlemen, I'm not sure who was on lunch duty, but that was really lovely. So thank you very much indeed for that. I want to obviously just test a little bit of your humour this afternoon, if that's possible. But before I do that, I wanted just to mention one quite serious thing that's happened this afternoon since I've been here. I was talking to Graham Gulliford earlier on. Graham sat over there. And unfortunately, Graham was telling me that the dog had bitten him on the hand. And I said, well, that's not a very nice way to talk about Kay. Right, OK, so I've judged the level of humour. I want to also just to say thank you to Mike for leading the songs earlier. I don't know about you, but do you know, when Mike leads the songs, do you not feel at the end of it, it's been a real education about stuff that you didn't know? And, so thanks, Mike. That was absolutely brilliant. Really liked the songs and obviously the knowledge behind it. So I'm going to talk about Twiglet Power this afternoon. And interestingly, Twiglets have had to... does everybody eat Twiglets here?
Yeah.
But we all know what Twiglets are. Yeah. Okay, the little sort of twiggy sort of snacks, aren't they? They've had to have the recipe redone in order that they can comply, and I've got to get this right, with the HFSS regulations, which is high fat, salt and sugar, because they used to be full of fat, salt and sugar, and now they're not. But apparently they taste just the same. You believe that? Believe it. Anyway, so we are going to just touch upon Twiglet Power in a little bit as we compare it to where we might really get power from. The bronze medal winner of the Olympic marathon in 1960 was a man called Barry McGee. He was a New Zealander. He's 88 years old now. And he said this: anyone can run 20 miles, but it's the next six that count. Anyone can run 20 miles, but it's the next six that count. That is supposed to be inspirational. I'd appreciate your forgiveness, but actually looking around the room this afternoon and looking at myself, I think we might be in the position where we've perhaps done the 20 miles, but we are now coming into the last six, where things perhaps will get more difficult for us, will get tougher, will get harder. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about this afternoon was a little bit about marathon running. Who here has run a marathon? Right, I think I may be on my own there. You've run a marathon. Ah, fantastic. So we've got one marathon runner and myself, and I've run six marathons in my life and a few half marathons and so on. So I've got a little bit of experience in distance running. And I want to talk as well about my friend Terry. You probably, a lot of you know Terry Russell. My running buddy, and we've run a few marathons together, and obviously I'm delighted that it is being recorded, although there are a few stories which may come out about our marathon running, which may need to be edited from the tape. But yeah, so marathon running. It is, as it's described, an endurance race. A marathon running, because of what it is, makes you find out about yourself, both physically and mentally. You find out that there are parts of you that weren't meant to hurt that actually do hurt. And also you find out that mentally you need to stay very focused right throughout the race. So it is a real challenge to run marathons. And part of the thing you have to do in marathons is preparation. Lots and lots of preparation. So you need a lot of time. My first marathon that I ran was in 2010. It was the marathon in the New Forest, and that was an experience. I ran it in 4 hours, 7.5 minutes. And I was disappointed because I thought that I was good enough to run it in under 4 hours. So, of course, that's why I needed to run another one to see if I could get under 4 hours. But preparation is really important. When I ran one of my subsequent marathons, I was living in Romania, and I set myself a target of running 400 miles in preparation for the marathon. And to encourage myself, I decided that for every mile I ran in training, I would give £1 to charity. How stupid is that? But that's what I did to prepare. And preparation is really, really important. But also, motivation is also very, very important. The reason that you're doing the marathon is important. Now, for a lot of people, it's for, you know, self-development, because they want to run fast, because they enjoy the running. For other people, it can be because of raising money for charity and that sort of thing. And that's what you would do, and it would give you an added motivation. A marathon that Terry and I ran together was the 2012 Palma Marathon in Mallorca. We selected that because it was in Mallorca. Let's be honest about it. That was the reason we selected it. It looked a really nice place to go to. But also, we wanted to raise some money for John Munro. And again, many in this room would know who John is. John and Linda were having a wet room built in their house, and Terry and I agreed we'd raise some money for that. And we ended up raising £4,000, which was nice. Obviously, less expenses, but, you know. The Palma Marathon was great, and over the weekend that we were there, Terry and I enjoyed a weekend in the culture of Palma, which is a beautiful city. And again, within that weekend, you probably see some of the things you go through as you are preparing and then running a marathon. So on the night before the marathon, we went to the pasta party. Now, one of the important things about distance running is you need to do what is called carb loading. So build up lots of carbohydrate in your body. Slow release carbohydrates. And one of the best sources for that is pasta. So as part of the marathon for the weekend, there was organised a pasta party. And so Terry and I, we toddle along to this, and we ate lots and lots of pasta. And I have to say, it does sit a little bit heavily in your stomach. And anyway, we did that, and we went to that. Now, when I'd signed up to go to Palmer with Terry, I'd said, well, that's really good, Terry, but obviously we are raising money for charity and we can't spend it all on our sort of luxury five-star hotel and all that kind of stuff. So I said, where are we going to be staying? And he said, well, it's all right. My brother, Gary, lives in Palmer. Well, that's a result, isn't it? Yeah, that is a real result. So the charity wasn't going to be diminished by too much. We were going to be able to stay at Terry's brother's flat, and that was excellent. What Terry didn't tell me was that Gary's girlfriend, Lisa, also lived in the flat, and it was actually a one-bedroom flat. So we turn up in the middle of the afternoon at Terry's flat, and Gary's not there because he runs a bar in the city, where we went a bit later. And I said to her, I said, so where are we sleeping tonight? And Terry said, well, there's the couch. And so basically we had to sleep together. And again, one thing I should say, the really important thing about marathon running is, with respect to preparation, is you need a good night's sleep before you start. Now, I'll just take you back now to the pasta party. So Terry and I, we'd had this pasta and we were feeling a little bit bulked out by it. And, we were trying, obviously, to waste a bit of time, because both of us were feeling a little bit uncomfortable about sleeping together. It's understandable, isn't it? So we were sort of wandering around, you know, the streets of Palmer. We went to a bookshop that had been frequented by the guy out of the Rolling Stones, Ronnie Wood. We spent a lot of time in there because we found somebody English to talk to. And I was all the time thinking, right, how long are we, you know, let's stay out as long as we possibly can. But anyway, eventually we did have to go back and go to bed and so on. It's good fun running with Terry. It really is good fun running with Terry, because the next day we get up and again you go to the race, and then you have your pre-race banana. You have your pre-race caffeine gels. And all of this stuff is sort of, you know, lolling around inside of you. And the reason you do it is hopefully so that you can endure the race, because you have got to go a long way. And I'll take you back to that saying at the start, that the first 20 miles, actually anybody can do. But it's around about the 20-mile mark where things start to run out. Your energy runs out. Your actual physical energy runs out, and the sort of chemicals inside you start to diminish. So it is important that you've done all those things in terms of eating all the pasta, the bananas, the gels, the water, and so on. So we ran the marathon. We raised the money, and in Palmer it was lovely because we were able to cross the line holding hands. I mean, after we'd spent the night together, we thought, what the heck, you know. Yeah, so it's good fun running marathons with Terry. And we actually did run, again, in preparation for the marathon, another race together down in Seaton in Devon. And again, I don't know why I agree to these things. Terry said, why don't we run the Grizzly? I said, all right, what's that? He said, well, it's only 20 miles. That sounds fine. Terry was always very keen when we were doing our training runs. He was very keen on doing off-road trail running. I never liked that. I preferred running on proper tarmac. You know, it's all up and down and so on. But Terry, he loved this off-road stuff. So I said, all right, Terry, just tell me about the Grizzly. He said, well, He said it is a bit of trail running, it's a bit of, you know, a bit of road running. He said it's a bit up and down. So we sign up for this. Anyway, the Grizzly is the most grueling race ever. And when I say we ran together, basically that's a very loose definition because we arrived together. Terry ran it really quickly because he's a quicker runner than me. And about an hour after Terry got back, I got back. And I had pains in places I had never, ever felt. I don't know, if you know the coastline around Seaton and Branscombe and down and up and round, it is absolutely horrendous. And we ran through lots and lots of standing water. We ran across the beach at Seaton, which is those massive great big pebbles. And so on. And when you get back, you run along the Seaton seafront, and there's the fire brigade hosing you off because you're filthy. The only positive thing about that race, and I said to Terry afterwards, I said, I'm never, ever, ever doing that again, is that you go up the road and you have beer and a pasty. So that was all good. But as I was saying, preparation is really important, and you have to think about lots of things. You have to think about lots of things when you're running, including Vaseline. Now, you can't really generally say this in public company, and the tape may need to be edited, but bleeding nipples, I said it, is not a thing that you want to have when you're running. So you have to Vaseline and actually any of your little crevices and bits where you might chafe a bit, you've got to Vaseline up because it's really important. Because what you don't want when you're running is to be worried about those things. There's enough to be worried about with your feet, your legs, your arms, your head. Everything is hurting, so you don't want things that you can perhaps prevent hurting from being hurt. Terry has always been a brilliant supporter of long-distance running, and a brilliant supporter of me. And I really love that. We have run together thousands of miles, because we run training runs and everything like that. And during those times, we obviously, you know, sorted out world peace, dealt with poverty, dealt with issues in the church, dealt with personal issues, all of these, you know, I mean, basically every single thing was dealt with on our train runs in our minds. But the really good thing about running with somebody is that there's somebody alongside you who's keeping you going, who's encouraging you and so on. And so my first marathon that I was planning to run with Terry, that I mentioned earlier on, the New Forest Marathon, I was really pleased that we were going to do all this training together and then we're going to be able to run a marathon. That was until Terry hurt his ankle. I mean, how inconsiderate is that? So he said, I'm really sorry, mate, I can't run this first marathon of yours. So I had to set off from, I can't remember where it was Milton-on-Sea or somewhere, on this marathon. And it was then that I realised that marathon running is about running your own race. And I'd never run in a sort of big group of people like that. And when you're on your training runs, you're obviously running at your own pace and there's no distractions or anything like that. Suddenly you're amongst this group of people, some of whom are running really quickly, some of whom are running a bit slowly. And so it was really difficult. And also, because it was my first marathon, I realised when I got to mile 19 that I'd got bits of me that were hurting that had never ever hurt before. And I had to stop and I had to have some work done on my hamstring. They very kindly gave a sort of place to have massages, so I had that done. By mile 22, and we're now into this area of the 6 miles that are, you know, yeah, can I say this? Sorts the men out from the boys, or is that politically incorrect? Probably is, but anyway, I've said it, so there we are. But we were into this last 6 miles, and mile 22, you go through a little village called Sway, which is beautiful. The only trouble with Sway is it's a massive hill. Out of Sway, it's probably not that massive, just felt that massive coming out of Sway. What was lovely, really lovely, was that halfway up this hill, and you know, I wasn't thinking straight, I'd rolled my sleeves up on the t-shirt, I was feeling horrible. I thought, I'm not going to be able to do this. But halfway up that hill, Terry and Sally were there. And they're saying, come on, Paulie, you can do it. Oh, comes on, nearly welling up thinking about it. And it was lovely to hear them actually shouting your name and say, come on, you can do it. You can, you know, get up yourself. It was right for them. They weren't having to run it. And another thing about marathon runners, you've probably seen it on the TV. A lot of people have their names on their shirt. Really important to do that because people then can shout out your name. Oh, blimmin' annoying as well. After the first mile, you know, people saying, come on, Paul, you know, do your best. After mile five, it gets a bit tedious. After mile 10, it is very tedious indeed. And actually, then you're wanting to rip your shirt off because you don't want to see what your name is. But Terry and Sally in Sway, it was great. And it got me up to the top of the hill and got me to the end of the race. Because running our own race is really, really important. Terry and I ran our last marathon together in 2015. And it was the Cornish Marathon. The only reason we were running it was because a little bit earlier on in 2015, we'd run the Bath to Bristol Marathon, the only one they've ever had. And we'd done really well. We ran the first half really very quickly, and it was great. The only problem is we were still in Bristol. And Bristol is really flat. And getting to Bath the back way, through Hannam and so on, takes you up a big, big hill and so on. And I have to say, it was the one marathon where I feel I've actually been helpful to Terry as opposed to the other way around. Because he was always a bit quicker and a bit fitter than me. But in this one, he actually was suffering a little bit with some soreness in his calf. And he'd bought some special ice gel. I don't know where he got it from, probably eBay or something. And when we got up near the hospital in Bath, he was really, really suffering with this. And graciously, I thought I would help him. And so he stopped, he got this gel out, and I rubbed it gently on his calf. I think he wanted it sort of up his thigh, but I wasn't going to go there. I said, I'll do your calf, but that's as far as it goes. So we ran that marathon, and because of that stop, we ran it in 4 hours and 1 minute. Oh, I've never forgiven him for that. And it was because of that that we saw advertised the Cornish Marathon. I said, come on, Tel. I said, we cannot leave a minute on the clock. Surely we've got to go down to Cornwall and we've got to crack 4 hours. We'd already done, you know, the Palmer Marathon. We'd done it in about 3 3/4. But, you know, really frustrating and annoying to be 4 hours and 1 minute. Oh, blimmin' heck. You can tell I'm still cross with him about it now. So we ran the Cornish Marathon. Now, the Cornish Marathon was based out of Bodmin. Now that probably tells you something about the terrain. And it was in November. We set out from, I think it was actually Bugle that we set out for, which is kind of the scruffy part of St Austell. Yeah. Which didn't tell you much about Bugle, but anyway, and it was horrendously hilly. It's about 1,000 feet climb up and down is what you do on this marathon. And it was tough because it was cold and it was windy and it was wet and it was just horrendous. There was low-lying cloud, just awful running conditions. And we were sort of ploughing on, you know, doing as best we could in the circumstances. And when we got to about mile 16 or 17, we get to, there's quite, on marathons there are food and water stops, or water stops mainly. And ordinarily at these things you get like wine gums and that sort of stuff, and some water handed out. We get to this stop about 70 miles and we are feeling rough as anything. Both of us are feeling really, really, you know, not well at all. And we get to this stop and there's a lady handing out Twiglets. And bear in mind, you know, your mouth is actually quite dry when you've got sort of run 18 miles. this lady handing out Twiglets. And we, well, obviously we ate them because, you know, why not? But we looked at each other. We started trotting off afterwards. And Tony says to me, he said, why have they been handing out Twiglets? And the only reason that I can think is because of this high fat, salt and sugar content. So we were now running on the power of Twiglets. And I'm afraid to say that it didn't work. Earlier on I was saying, you have to run your own race in a marathon. You have to run your own race. And when you do that, you have to accept that a man wearing a mankini is going to be able to run faster than you are. Even though he's got all the chafing and all that sort of stuff going on, he's still going to be able to run faster. Having eaten our Twiglets in Cornwall, we got to about mile 22 and we were, you know, we were tired actually, and we were struggling up this hill. And I'm not meaning to offend anybody, but this little old granny, she looked pristine, and she comes just gently running past us. She was probably, I don't know, 5'2", very slight, and we were absolutely hanging. You know, we looked dreadful. And she just looked pristine. She said, afternoon. Literally, she said it. And we just could not believe it. So I think there was kind of an inverse thing happening with those Twiglets, because they just did not work. They didn't operate as they should have done. And this granny went on and ran. Terry and I finished that marathon in 4 hours, 22 minutes. It was a disaster. And when you get back, you know, I mean, you feel pretty good about yourself when you've run a marathon. And, you know, even though it was not the time we wanted, we were happy that we'd survived, because it had become actually about survival. And you're feeling quite sort of, you know, smug. Look at us, we've, you know, done the marathon. And afterwards, they, because it was Cornwall, obviously there was pasties, so that was really good. And they congratulated a lady who had just run her 100th marathon. Well, that kind of put our achievements in the shade somewhat. Anyway, enough about marathon running. As I said, I wanted to share a bit about it because of that saying at the start that anyone can run 20 miles, but it's the next six that count. And seriously, I think all of us in this room, we are at some point going to get to that next six, or we're in it now. When some of the challenges of health and of family issues, of old age, of struggling with our heating bills, of bits that aren't working as we would want them to, of concerns over our family, become much more difficult for us to cope with, and we are less able to because we are older. So therefore, getting into this final six miles can be tough. It's not easy. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, and this is from the Message, and I really found this helpful as I was thinking about this. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, and I thought about Terry and Sally when I read that. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, Start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honour, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he ploughed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. That's great, isn't it? And the original version is just as good as well as the Message. And I was thinking, as I was just preparing for today, do you know there is one very special witness to our race? And it's Her Majesty. And isn't that great that she's now with that great cloud of witnesses, as it says in the NIV, cheering us on. And just over the weekend, I was just looking back over some of her Christmas speeches, and it's incredible to see how they have changed over the years and become more and more direct in her mentioning of faith. And this is what she said in 2019, which I felt was appropriate again for us today. Through his teaching and by his example, Jesus Christ would show the world how small steps, and a marathon is about 42,000 steps, in faith and in hope, can overcome long-held differences and deep-seated divisions to bring harmony and understanding. Many of us already try to follow in his footsteps. The path, of course, is not always smooth and may at times this year have felt quite bumpy. But small steps can make a world of difference. That's encouragement, isn't it, for us today? So anyone can run 20 miles, but it is the last six that count. And just before I close, I'd just like to read some words that are very familiar to us from Isaiah chapter 40, because Isaiah chapter 40 kind of gives us a bit of a secret as to what we're heading for and how do we do this last 6 miles, and gives us a pattern almost as to how life works. Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, nor is he weary? His understanding is inscrutable. He gives power to the faint, twiglets don't, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. Yesterday, in the church service that I was at, we sang a song by a group called the Wren Collective, and the chorus spoke to me, and I'll just read it out and then I'll finish, and hopefully it will speak to all of us, because it spoke to me, as I said. Boldly I approach your throne, blameless now I'm running home. By your blood I come, welcomed as your own, into the arms of majesty. Thank you very much for listening, and appreciate your time.